A middle-aged gentleman in rural Spain reads so many adventure novels that his brain overheats. He stops sleeping. He argues with the village priest about whether a fictional giant could defeat a fictional knight. His family watches in horror as he loses himself completely in fantasies of dragons, enchanted castles, and damsels in distress. Then one morning, he makes a decision that will echo through literary history. He will become the hero he's been reading about. He dusts off his great-grandfather's rusty armor, renames his skeletal horse Rocinante, and christens himself Don Quixote of La Mancha. At 50 years old, gaunt and half-starved from neglecting meals in favor of books, he sets out to revive the age of chivalry in a world that has long since moved on. What follows is both hilarious and heartbreaking, a story about the collision between dreams and reality, between who we imagine ourselves to be and who the world insists we are. This is the genius of Cervantes' masterpiece. It makes us laugh at Don Quixote's delusions while secretly wondering if his madness might be the sanest response to an uninspiring world. Don Quixote doesn't hallucinate. He reinterprets. Spotting windmills, he declares them giants with arms nearly 2 leagues long. Sancho protests, but Don Quixote charges forward. The windmill's sail flings him to the ground. Does this shake his conviction? Not remotely. He blames the wizard Freston for transforming the giants into windmills to rob him of victory. This pattern repeats endlessly. Inns become castles, prostitutes transform into noble ladies, sheep morph into armies, he charges while shepherds pelt him with stones. He attacks a puppet show to rescue a fictional princess, destroying the puppeteer's livelihood. These misadventures reveal something universal. Modern psychology confirms perception is construction. Our brains create experience based on expectations and beliefs. When convinced someone dislikes us, don't we interpret neutral expressions as hostile? When in love, don't we overlook glaring flaws? Don Quixote confronts us with an uncomfortable truth. We're all living in partly constructed realities, just with less dramatic consequences. Don Quixote recruits Sancho Panza, a poor farmer, with promises of governing an island. Sancho agrees reluctantly, motivated by wealth rather than ideals. They make an odd pair, the lean knight spouting speeches about honor and the round farmer responding with earthy proverbs about full bellies. Yet something remarkable happens. Each absorbs aspects of the other's worldview. Sancho starts defending his master's visions and even fabricates stories about delivering messages to the non-existent Dulcinea. Don Quixote occasionally displays Sancho's practicality, especially after painful defeats. Their relationship evolves from master-servant to genuine friendship. The promised governorship materializes when a duke and duchess make Sancho governor of a small town. His tenure reveals unexpected wisdom. He dispenses clever justice and uncovers a loan repayment hidden in a walking stick. But the position brings sleepless nights and constant anxiety. After 10 days, Sancho abandons it, declaring, "I wasn't born to be a governor." He chooses friendship and freedom over status, a surprisingly modern rejection of conventional success that resonates with anyone who's discovered achieving a long-desired goal doesn't bring expected fulfillment. Don Quixote transforms Aldonza Lorenzo, a sturdy peasant girl who could throw a metal bar as well as the brawniest lad, into Dulcinea of Toboso, the most beautiful woman in the world. She remains blissfully unaware while he dedicates impossible feats to her glory. When Sancho discovers Dulcinea's true identity, Don Quixote explains, "I imagine that everything I say about her is true, not because it is, but because I want it to be." The distance between robust Aldonza and ethereal Dulcinea mirrors the gap between who we love and who they truly are. Unable to find the non-existent lady, Sancho points to a random peasant girl. Seeing only a coarse countrywoman, Don Quixote concludes evil enchanters have transformed her. The Duke and Duchess later arrange for a fake wizard to announce Dulcinea can only be disenchanted if Sancho gives himself 3,300 lashes. Sancho creatively strikes trees instead. The Dulcinea storyline captures how ideals eclipse reality. Don Quixote's devotion to an imaginary woman represents our capacity to create meaning and beauty despite contrary evidence, simultaneously absurd and touching. In part two, Don Quixote and Sancho meet a duke and duchess who've read their published adventures. This metafictional twist, characters aware of themselves as literary figures, was revolutionary in 1615 and remains sophisticated today. The nobles orchestrate cruel pranks, convincing Don Quixote that only Sancho's self-flagellation can disenchant Dulcinea, staging encounters with a bearded countess, releasing cats with bells into his darkened bedroom. They watch these humiliations with delighted laughter, treating real suffering as theatrical entertainment. These episodes implicate us as readers. The dupe and duchess represent our own consumption of Don Quixote's misadventures. Cervantes forces us to examine the ethics of deriving pleasure from others' suffering. Yet Don Quixote maintains dignity through courtesy and unwavering ideals. When an ecclesiastic berates him, he responds with such eloquence about knight-errancy's value that his tormentors seem small by comparison. Their power and wealth cannot match his nobility of purpose. The question lingers, who is truly mad? The idealist pursuing impossible dreams, or the cynics who can only mock what they cannot understand? Lowered into the cave of Montesinos, Don Quixote emerges after half an hour, claiming 3 days passed in an underground realm. He describes a crystal palace with chivalric heroes, Durandarte on a marble sepulchre, mourning maidens, and Dulcinea enchanted as a peasant girl, confirming Sancho's earlier lie. Her companion even requests a loan, offering an underskirt as security. This marks a crucial shift. Previously, Don Quixote transformed external reality. Windmills became giants. Now he creates an entirely internal reality, disconnected from external stimuli. What troubles him most is his uncertainty about whether the experience was real or dreamed. For the first time, he questions his perceptions. The cave raises profound questions. If our minds construct experience, how do we distinguish reality from dream? Don Quixote's uncertainty echoes debates from Plato's cave allegory through Descartes' doubt to contemporary neuroscience. This narrative uncertainty destabilizes our sense of truth, introducing new psychological complexity. His doubt suggests growing self-awareness, a crack in his delusions that will eventually lead to his return to sanity and, paradoxically, his death. Don Quixote's adventures end when he's defeated by the Knight of the White Moon, actually his neighbor, Bachelor Sanson Carrasco, in disguise. Even with a lance at his throat, he refuses to deny Dulcinea's beauty. Dulcinea of Toboso is the most beautiful woman in the world, and I am the most unfortunate knight on earth. Back home, Don Quixote falls ill with fever. After sleeping 6 hours, he awakens transformed. With remarkable clarity, he declares his judgment restored, recognizing the absurdities of chivalric books. Renouncing his identity as Don Quixote, he becomes Alonso Quijano the Good again. He confesses, dictates his will, and dies peacefully, having renounced the very literature that gave his life meaning. This ending presents a devastating paradox. Don Quixote's sanity coincides with death, suggesting madness was a form of vitality. His delusions represented refusal to accept ordinary existence's limitations. In our algorithm-driven age, Don Quixote reminds us imagination can transform existence. When he declares an inn a castle, he's factually wrong, but sees potential for magic in the ordinary. The novel's wisdom, sanity and madness, reality and illusion, aren't opposites, but complementary aspects of human experience. We need both Don Quixote's vision and Sancho's grounding. So ride forth with dreams in your heart, but bread in your saddlebag. And when the world calls you mad for believing in something more, perhaps that's the sanest madness of all.